Well, you know how we joke sometimes, and we say that, well, and we're not joking, but we say it in humor. We know how the book ends. Well, I'm going to show you the end of the book today. So, all things will be made new. Well, I want to share with you the great good news that death has been defeated, period. You want to turn to Revelation 21. Sometimes it is best just to let the Scripture speak for itself. Revelation 21, verses 3 through 4. Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them, and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eye, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And there is no time in that realm, I don't believe. It's a wonderful thing. But God's desire from the beginning is to have His home with the creation of humanity. Bill Hymer, he's an author, and he wrote that romance is at the heart of the universe because God has always wanted a bride for His Son, Jesus. The Christos, the second person of the Trinity. Jesus Christ, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That is our God. And He always wanted a bride. So humanity was created to be in fellowship with God and to be the bride of Jesus Christ. Here at the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 1, 21, God is saying, my home is now among my people. And this is not looking to the afterlife. This is looking to a time out in the future where God will literally make His home with humankind, so that will become heaven. And God Himself will be with His chosen people. His chosen people not being the nation of Israel, but being all who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And there will be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more crying. Can you imagine that day? No more bodies that creep when you get up in the morning. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Isn't that wonderful? In fact, thinking about mourning, it doesn't even make sense anymore. Because the one sitting on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. And then He said to me, write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true. He is talking to the Apostle John. And John is going to transcribe this information for us. But think about this. Other than a very few prophets of God, this picture has not been seen by people. We had some prophets in the Old Testament. We had the Apostle Paul, who was able to see into heaven, and he got to take a look at things and what was coming up. The Apostle John now is receiving it to record it, to be shared with you and I. In some sense, do you see how much more fortunate we are to have the full revealed Word of God? We have it. We can read it every day. We have this miraculous book, God's love letter to us, and it is provided so that we will have an understanding how we can live literally a blessed life because we follow those instructions in God's holy word, and God then is happy to pour out His blessings upon us. He, though, here is talking about the end of time, end of days for this earth. All right? It's not going to be the end as such. We are eternal beings. But the end time for this earth, Christ is saying, look, I am making everything new. Write this down, John, so that those who believe in me will know what the future holds. And they'll know how the book ends. And Christ goes on and He says, it's finished. Speaking about this creation. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. All who are victorious, who is that? That is every human being who is called upon the name of Jesus for salvation. All human beings who have accepted salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, who have accepted their redemption because Jesus paid their price. He paid my price. He paid your price. There is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. There is no forgiveness of sin without the death of something. But praise God, the price was paid. And it was paid by Jesus Christ, who is now stated, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he's offering eternal life to all those who have victoriously said, I want to be follower of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen?
This is what we have to look forward to as his children. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our King, King of all kings. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. Now this is interesting. It goes on and says, but cowards, I find it interesting that the word cowards, and I want to think about that. Why would God call someone a coward? You know, I think it's rooted in selfishness. When you think about a coward, it's a type of selfishness. But here what's going on, I really believe, somebody was a coward to turn their life over to Jesus Christ. No, I want to hold on to what I've got. I want to hold on to what I am because I'm afraid of what it might mean if I turn my life over to Jesus Christ. And so in essence, here he is saying, but cowards, followed by unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, the immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshippers, and all liars. Now, does that sound like a lot of our culture today, doesn't it? Unfortunately, that's the case. Okay? We seem to be, as a culture, turning away from God and saying, no, I want to do whatever is right in my own mind, what is right in my own eyes, just as was written through the book of Judges. Where is their faith? What is their faith? Their faith is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. You know, a lot of people today want to say, well, I don't believe in hell. Really? On what authority? I can take you to the Word of God and show you a representation, and that's where it comes from. Their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. I don't want to be there. Whatever that is, I don't want to be in it. I guarantee you that. John is making it clear in our own language, we don't want to be there. I don't know about you, but a fiery, burning lake of sulfur does not sound very appetizing to me. It doesn't sound very comfortable, and I don't want to be there in any way, shape, or form. We have just gone through, if you have read this whole letter, you have heard about what John is going to mention next. Then, one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls. And at the end of time, there will be judgment. And the seven bowls are seven judgments of God, and they are horrible. You don't want to be on the receiving end. But one of these angels, one of the seven angels who held the seven bowls containing the seven last plagues, came and said to me, come with me. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Who is the bride of Christ? Who is the wife of the Lamb? It is the redeemed church. It is the fellowship of the saints. It is you and me, if we know Jesus Christ. We will be this bride that John is seeing in this vision. Come with me, this angel says. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. So he took me in the Spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. John is literally seeing now something way in the future. Because I will tell you, the dimensions of the city take you from this earth way above our atmosphere out into outer space. So it's something new, totally new, beyond our comprehension. Christ is making all things new, and this new Jerusalem comes ascending out of heaven. And here's what it says. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like a precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high, with 12 gates guarded by 12 angels. And the names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west. For all of you working on your math, school's just started. There's 3 gates on 4 sides. 3 times 4 is 12. And the 12 tribes of Israel are written on those gates. And then the connection goes from the Old Testament, the 12 tribes of Israel, to the New Testament. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. I think that is so cool. We know as Christ as the foundation. But this holy city that comes down will have 12 foundation stones. And on them were written the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Old Testament. God revealing himself through one family. You have the 12 tribes of Israel. Those are the names of the gates in the city. The foundation stones are the names of the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ as he came in the flesh, became man so that he could die to pay the price for our sins as a human being, which he did. And he was victorious because he didn't stay in the grave. And we have this great hope because he was raised from the dead. Death could not hold him. And he holds now, once again, the keys of hell and death. He took them from the enemy. Can't you just see that? Sometimes I see him doing one of these great big karate kicks. Grabbing the keys. Sometimes I just see him going, boom! Thank you very much. But he is victorious. And because he is victorious, we will be victorious. And because he loves us, all of those who call upon him have their sins forgiven and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are the victorious ones. We will see this. We will be a part of what Scripture is talking about here at the end of days. Well, praise God. John gives a commentary. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light. I love the description. I love the fact that Scripture teaches us that God is light. In him there is no darkness. No darkness at all. He is light. Why do people find the darkness? They want to hide. Sometimes it's because I want to sleep. I'll be honest. So, But guess what? I'm not going to need to. In this situation, I'm not going to need to. I am tired of being tired. I'm tired of getting tired. I can't wait till this happens, and I can be the Energizer Bunny all... I can't even say day, because there is no sun and moon. That doesn't really have any meaning. But all the time, I could be the Energizer Bunny. And that's a scary thought for some of you. Okay? But you know what? You're going to be right there with me. Steve, you know how well we're going to be able to sing? It's going to be amazing. The nations will walk in its light. And the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. This is interesting. John is explaining this in terms that we can understand. But we don't really know what it's going to be like. There is going to be a new creation. And according to this, it sounds like there will be nations. There will be kings. And they will all be giving glory to the Lamb, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Its gates, this city's gates, will never be closed at the end of day. See, John's using day, so I guess I can. Because we don't know what else to use. But it's never going to close because there is no night there. It just keeps going. Like the Energizer Bunny, keeps going and going and going. The light is there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. All that is known will be governed by God. And whatever that is will bring their glory into the city to glorify our God. Nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now me, you know, I like to question things. I like to think. I have been accused of being an intellectual. I know for some of you you're saying that's a real stress. But I've been accused of it. And I look at this and I think, okay, he's mentioning nothing evil will be allowed to enter. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought it would be like. Nor, this one throws me for a loop a little bit, anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty. So I'm wondering, okay, is that just a reference to the past? Because some at some point had practiced idolatry and dishonesty. Or, in this new creation, is God going to allow some new creation, some type of being, to still have that choice to practice something that he despises? I don't know. But I know who this is really written for, and it's written for the church, the bride. We're not part of that group, period. Whether it's referring to the past or whether it's referring to this new present. And then it goes on, only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, only those will be allowed to enter this majestic city. And if you want the dimensions and everything, go to the book of Revelation. It's right there. I skipped those verses, okay? But it's right there and it tells you. And it's huge. It is huge. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are anticipating and looking forward to this vision that John saw. Because we will all be there if we know Jesus Christ, if we have accepted him. But if not, I have to tell you the truth. There's another group that will be in outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's just as true as this vision. And that is also recorded in the book of Revelations as well as other places in God's Holy Scripture. I want to leave you with this recommendation. Get to know all of God's holy book. And you know what's even more important than that, because it comes first? If you want to understand this holy book, you need to get to know the Son of God. You need to accept that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God has provided that Savior in the person of Jesus Christ. The Christos, who is God, became man, lived a perfect life as a man, then died a horrible death on a Roman cross, shed his blood so that we could be redeemed. It's like we were in this great big pawn shop. Jesus Christ went in, laid down his blood, and purchased our redemption. That's what Christ did for you. That's how you and I will not be included in that other world, that dark, shadowy place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where there's a sulfur pit that is always burning, as far as John could explain. We don't really know. But the great good news is we don't have to worry about it. If we know Jesus Christ, then we will be the victorious. We will share in Christ's victory over hell and death. Those words have meaning. Those words are reality for every human being in the future that knows Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, the other truth I was sharing is just as real for those who do not know Jesus Christ. So my prayer for you is that you do know. And that's great, great, great good news. I want to see this awesome vision. I want to be part of it when it's not a vision, but when it actually takes place. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. We're going to end with a praise song. And I think many of you know that this is a song I wanted Nola to sing. So I wrote it for her.
May what inhabits my thoughts and my prayers be praise to you.
Praise to you.
When life is soaring or causing a storm, be praise to you.
Praise to you.
May my moments of praise still be steady, whether blessings or turmoil are near. My devotion and heart song be ready, no matter the circumstance here. May I sing praise to you, as the majestic in heaven all do. I will sing praise to you, for all things forever are working together in chorus to glorify you. I will sing praise to you, as the heavenly beings all do. I will sing praise to you, for all things forever are working together to eternally magnify you. And I will too. May what inhabits my thoughts and my prayers be praise to you.
Praise to you.
When life is soaring or causing a storm, be praise to you.
Praise to you.
May my moments of praise still be steady, whether blessings or turmoil are near. My devotion and heart song are ready, no matter the circumstance here. May I sing praise to you as the majestic in heaven all do. I will sing praise to you, for all things forever are working together in chorus to glorify you. I will sing praise to you as the heavenly beings all do. I will sing praise to you, for all things forever are working together to eternally magnify you.
Because that vision that I shared with you, John's vision in the book of Revelation, that's how it ends up. Praise be to God. I want us to say this benediction. I said, I want everybody to be giving the benediction to everyone else. And we've made that a practice here. So I want us to read this benediction. And it is the priests of God. That's you. We are giving this benediction to one another in our Savior's name. Let's read this together. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace.